Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
And welcome into Lions Game Day. We are here.
Game Day.
Good morning. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. And it was a close call for one member of the show. Just got in.
There we go. Turn the mic on. Redo that.
Yeah.
A long drive. Prepare yourself. You know, the roads themselves weren't that awful, but it's really, really cold out, right? It's only 19 degrees. I was worried for black ice, which maybe other people were, but you cannot see the lanes. As soon as I got on 75, and obviously I'm
further
way
north,
so that was even worse. But I knew as soon as I got on there, I was like, oh no, I didn't leave early enough. Because you can't even see the lanes. And people only stick to the lanes where you can at least see some tire tracks.
Yeah.
Most people do. I mean, there's a few people that scurry around, but it was just slow moving. It was really slow.
Yeah.
The classic game of whose lane is it anyway on your drive into work today?
Yeah. It was the same for me. I was a little bit later this morning, and I keep looking at the weather, and yesterday I didn't see any snow in the forecast, and the kids kept telling me, they're like, yeah, somebody's talking about snow. I'm like, I always look at the forecast. I didn't see any snow. Wake up this morning, and there's it's hard to even call what we had on the ground much snow, but it was enough to somewhat make the roads a little bit slick. It's cold.
Mm-hmm.
And coming from, you know, Plymouth, again, I'll tell everybody, same thing you did, Heather. Just take your time. Be safe. Tried to tell everybody that on Friday, and it was an absolute disaster. So let's see if we can do it better the second time.
Well, people forget how to drive in the snow. It happens every year when we get that first few days of snow. People forget.
Why? I mean, unlike you, if you haven't grown up here,
stop.
It can be a challenge. But after, I don't know, after 4 or 5 years, or if you've lived your whole life, like how is
muscle memory? Riding a bike.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, there was someone in the right lane on my drive on 696 with the hazards on, which is okay. You're in the right lane. You got your hazards on.
The hazards.
At least they know they don't know.
Let's not oversell this. This is not a hazard day.
No, this is not a blizzard.
On.
But I don't know. Maybe they had a mechanical issue. They're over in the right lane. They're doing what they're supposed to. Their hazards on. So I'm trying to pass them.
Yes. Yeah.
And as I'm trying to pass them, someone's trying to pass me going 80. I'm like, dude, like.
Yeah.
There's the guy who goes too slow and there's the guy that goes too fast, and I don't understand either of these guys.
This is the sound of Costa passing the hazard lights.
I will say, I actually just said to Luke Sloan in here, I've done this many times and the first winter drive is always like this. However, there was a little bit more of an extreme in my opinion in terms of the speeders. The 80 mile per hour people still, and then the 35 mile per hour people.
Yep.
Like, I really noticed a lot of extremes today coming in, and that's what makes it dangerous, because I had this guy like coming out. I was getting around a hazards person. They're in the right lane. I'm going into the center lane. And then all of a sudden, you know, Mr. Speedster going 80s coming up super fast behind you. And that the left lane was either clear or wasn't clear my whole drive here. It was like off and on, which I don't understand. By the way, exactly. Two options.
I think Tom's point was the inconsistency. Some stuff's been plowed. Other stuff has not.
It's like that light switch.
There was no plowing.
There was no in between.
Well, I don't know. What did the guy just stop dropping salt halfway down 275?
Fell asleep.
I mean, there's this guy. I don't know. The you opened up this can.
It's fine.
You are feeding the beast here, as John knows, in terms
of... Oh, yeah. That's why I said, I'm like, this is not a hazard light day. Like, just be careful. You don't have to turn your hazards on.
But I also think if somebody wants to drive slow and they're in the right lane, let them drive slow.
Yeah.
Right? Well, like, there is a minimum speed.
Well, sure. If they're going 25 miles an hour on I-75,
right, yeah,
they've got an issue.
Use back roads.
But
yeah.
I'm just saying, like, don't... If they're going a decent speed, go around them.
Now,
like, don't put pressure on them to go any faster if they're uncomfortable, whatever.
I know you've driven a lot around the country, just your profession and stuff back in the day, and you lived in the D.C. area, but I do recall on interstates there used to be minimum speed postings.
Oh, yeah. Used to be 65 and 45.
Yeah. We don't have that anymore.
Oh, the minimum's not posted anymore? I guess I don't even pay attention.
Oh, they don't? Even for like trucks, they don't have that? They normally have like for trucks, like a minimum speed of 55.
Truck speed maximum.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, then I guess.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, I guess. I think we are in that age category. Thank you. This is my first Stoney moment.
What was it like?
No. Remember when they used to have the minimum speed?
Stoney like drove the minimum around Indianapolis.
Feet, you know? What was that like?
The Flintstones.
Yeah.
What were the cobblestone roads, the dirt roads like?
We had cobblestone roads at Alexandria. They're awesome, by the way. Yes. No carriages, but.
I'm going to add this to the things we say every year. People driving slower than me are driving too slow. People driving faster than me are driving
too fast.
Yes. Need to be in the Goldilocks zone. Just right.
By the way, down in Tecumseh, we still have cobblestone.
And horses and carriages.
Yes.
Right.
Amish.
I know.
All right. So we're going to have some fun today. We have the 2 Grand Slam at 7:25. Okay. It's the last 2 Grand Slam of the calendar year.
Whoa! It's a big deal.
Yes. Please, nobody hang up. Keep answering. Don't pass on every question. Let's have a good showing today, folks.
Let's have our best and brightest. If you're bad at this,
seriously,
don't call today. Wait till next year. If you're bad at this, please do everybody a favor and
go
save
over
the space
to the right lane.
Yes.
Exactly.
Put your hazard lights on.
We'll be back with the 2 Grand Slam in 25. You can, you know, get your one or two right then. Let's give someone a real shot today to win $2,000. That's coming up at 7:25. We aren't going to do a full version of the picks today. That's tomorrow. But we'll get the Lions pick coming up, 10 minutes here? Sound good? Speaking of the Lions... When's the tailgate start?
Oh. So I know you're working. I'm not working tonight. And I'm not going to the game either, but at home I do have big plans.
Oh.
We're treating this like a Sunday 1 o'clock kick or even a 4:30 kick.
What does that mean?
It means for dinner it's going to be I'm going to do some chicken wings on the grill. I'm going to have some dips and sauces for chips and whatnot, veggies for the girls. And then, for dinner, we're going to have, I'm thinking about smoking a couple of chickens. Normally, I always smoke something, right? So the grill's going to be rolling. The smoker's going to be rolling. What's that? Chickens don't take very long to smoke. No, yeah, okay. They're not a 14-hour extravaganza, so,
right,
which is why the pork shoulder, all that stuff's not going in today, so... Yep. So I won't be tailgating down there, but I'll be tailgating at home like I normally do.
And I wonder when the weather's like this. And I know, hey, we're used to this. We're Midwest. When do you start tailgating for a Thursday night football game when the weather is like this? Because I get it. Like when I go down, I'll be on at 5 o'clock with Rico and Stoney, and we'll be building up to the game. Downtown will be alive by that point.
Oh, sure.
But when does it start?
I think it's. I would, if I was going to guess or bet. I bet that it would be right around noon is probably when the earliest tailgaters will get there. Others will join in probably, I think another wave will be 3-4 o'clock-ish.
Okay.
It might be, hey, get the kids out of school just a little bit early if they're going down, or hey, maybe that's when the babysitter can show up. And
you and I have talked about this. The Lions have become...
Not that everybody has kids, but...
But if they do, and that's a lot of people do, the Lions have become an event. It's like your favorite band. 8, 9, 10 times a year, and you plan. You get the babysitter because you're going to go to the show. It's an all day, you said, extravaganza. Mm-hmm. And I wonder too, like with Thursdays, what's the move? Because I think you're better off taking off Friday at this point, right? Like you go hard Thursday night, you take off Friday from work, you roll it into the weekend.
Well, I think you've got to try it because one of the things that the pandemic did was either work from home or flexible work hours.
Yep.
And so there might be a few people that are on the roads right now, be careful, that are getting there early so that they can leave instead of leaving at 4 or 5, they can leave at 2:30 or 3, get down to the game. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's the thing you got to do, is not to take the full day today. Get out early, and if you can't, obviously, you know, work the full day. And then tomorrow is, you know, it's either call in sick, take a vacation day, personal day, or just lie to the boss and do whatever you need to do.
You got the Honolulu flu. Yeah. You can't make it the next day.
Because it's, what, the game starts at 8-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
8:15.
Be done closer to 11:30.
Yeah. 11:30. You're not getting out of Ford Field till, what, 12:30?
Gridlock traffic.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Tomorrow is certainly the day to take.
Just take tomorrow.
Yeah, especially, I mean, if the parade won't happen until mid-February, but, you know, after you beat the pack, hey, parade down Woodward.
Take your time driving home, honking your horn, feeling good. Did Colin start tailgating yesterday?
He did. He's been tailgating all week. Yesterday, I walked in the door from work, and he goes, "You want to go to the game tomorrow?" And I was like,
Oh.
Yes. How much are tickets? And we're not going because we don't have a sitter, and it's late and whatnot. Right. But I mean, I think he's been like,
I love it.
He's been wanting to go.
I wonder how long he was trying to work those words in his head because your first response is probably always going to be, how much are the tickets?
That's exactly. I said, yes, how much are they?
Right.
And it's a four-digit number.
I bet you he certainly had some rationalization in his mind. Oh, well, you know, we could use this as part of a, you know, this could be my part of my Christmas
holiday. Yeah. Just what I wanted, right? Just what you want.
His. Oh. He can only say his.
Oh, I already got him his gift, though, and he's already opened it.
What?
Yeah.
Whole problem here.
I know. He needed to... Whatever. I got him snowboard bindings because that's what he wanted, and he's already...
He's already used them? Haven't been able to use them yet, has he?
Oh, Pine Knob is open.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. Anyway, but yes, he's excited about it. Who knows if he's even going to work today or tomorrow. I have no idea. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people in that camp. 248-539-9797.
If he wants to talk about it, tell him to hop on. I mean, you obviously have the ability. You could be here. He could join us from home for a Colin segment. This might be something that we have to explore. A post-game. We always have TJ from 9 to 10, which he's not going to join us till Monday. But can we have a 15 or 30 minutes with Colin DeCourcy?
Not that long.
15 I mean, he's or not, 30 minutes.
Yeah. He's not that polished to do this yet. I think we can get this thing rolling. Yeah. But I'd be up for him doing a call-in tomorrow.
Say, tell me you got open lines.
I tell him to call in all of the time.
He won't do it. He needs to fire up the
One
the
day
home
he will,
studio.
I'm sure, maybe, but...
Tomorrow.
Yeah, we could just connect him on the Comrex.
Yes, exactly. That's my point, You connect it before you leave and tell him, hey, come on down and just... All you got to do... He obviously knows how to connect on the Zoom, so...
He does.
We could be good to go.
Tomorrow, win or lose. Come on.
Okay.
And then he can do the cookie jar, too.
Yeah. Oh, fun.
There we go.
30 minutes. That's what I'm telling you.
The kids would probably be involved as well.
There you go.
Even more fun, the merrier.
You know, they'll be around.
Costa and Jansen with Heather and Colin.
And the kids.
Family affair. Okay, we got the Thursday touchdown at 6:35. Lions fans, hope to win, expect to win. Which camp are you in? We'll get to that at the end of the hour. Coming up next, a shortened version of the picks. A one-game pick. Lions Packers, it's 97-1. All right, guys, this time of season, when you look outside, you're going to see cold. You're going to see snow. You're going to wish you were somewhere warmer. And how about diving into the best pool in history, Stadium Swim, Circa Resort and Casino, out in Las Vegas, where you catch the biggest games and a viewing experience that's built for sports fans. One, it's not going to be 20 degrees out. You're going to be sitting in one of six pools on three different levels with a perfect view of a 40-foot-tall high-definition screen. Sounds a little better. Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch football, but really all sports, all seasons. Swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls. It's a nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot. They've got cozy day beds, private cabanas. Grab a spot, lounge at the center of the action, but reserve your place today. 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino. That's downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today, CircaLasVegas.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
A one game version of the picks before the real deal tomorrow. One game. Greg, tee it up for us.
Lions hosting the Green Bay Packers NFC North Division matchup. On Amazon's Thursday Night Football, Lions favored by 3.5 points at Ford Field. Jim.
The Lions are good enough to win this football game. They've got the offense to possess the ball, to finish drives, to keep the defense off the field. And they've got the defense to force turnovers against Jordan Love. The Lions win, but they sweat it out. I'll take the Packers and the points. A classic Stoney, if you will.
Yeah, thanks, Stoney. I think this is a game where the Lions really impress. And I don't think it's one where they just totally run away with it. And that's not what I'm saying. I think they impress because of the injuries that they have sustained. And I was going through this yesterday, and there was a lot of people that I talked to who said, you know, God, it really sounds like you're worried about this game. And I think I don't know what I was doing yesterday to make everybody so worried. This is an offense that can hit at every level. I've said that many times. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. They've got backs that can catch, tight ends, wide receivers at every single level. This is a dominant offense. Let's not forget that. Special teams. Did you guys see that Sione Vaki is the leading vote getter for the Pro Bowl in special teams? I didn't see that until last night, and I thought, oh, wow. You know, it's just another reason why this special teams is special and unique. Defensively, even though they're banged up, is this not a better defense still, right now, than they were at an NFC championship run last year? I think it is. And it's mainly because of the secondary. That's where they're healthy. They went to the NFC championship game with a 30th ranked defense in terms of pass defense. This is going to be a Lions win. They're going to cover, and it's not going to be sweating it out. Give me the damn Lions.
When I got home from work,
yeah,
and Colin said, do you want to go to the game? And I said, oh, you know, yeah, but how much? Well, then he proceeded to go on basically what you just said and explained all the reasons why they can win and they're going to win.
Yes.
I'm a little nervous because of all the injuries.
He's a believer.
However, I'm going to choose the Packers. He is a believer.
Wait, however. So that's not however. You are going to just pick the Packers.
I am.
Huh. Hater.
I'm not a hater.
John, I'm not sure that this team is as good as the 2022 defense currently, but the Lions offense will outpace the Packers.
23 defense.
Aaron Glenn devises a game plan from what he has. Lions.
Okay.
So, Heather, are you picking them to lose or just not against the spread?
Well,
are you pulling a cookie?
Yeah. What is the spread? 3.5?
Yes. Are you saying the Packers will win this game?
Outright.
No, I'm not.
Oh.
You don't need to do that.
But it's going to be close.
Yes, it's going to be a close game. No. I know I'm not as confident. No, I'm not.
Not nearly as confident, Colin.
No, he's very confident.
All right, so I feel like this is like the Texans game all over again. And the spread in that game was 3.5, and they won by 3. However, the Detroit Lions have been absolutely unbelievable at covering the spread after they don't cover the spread the last 2 years. It's almost like they don't lose 2 in a row. Not covered twice in a row, you know, so.
But the last time they didn't cover back-to-back was last year against the Bears and the Packers late in the season.
I hear you. So I think what John said about the defense, I don't think it's better, but I think it's equal to last year's. Because actually the last game, I thought the second half, the Lions defense looked like it did last year. That was one of my big takeaways. Yep. The secondary is better, but there's no Hutch. And so I think it neutralizes everything. And I think this is going to play out like the two playoff wins last year. against the Rams and against the Buccaneers. It's going to be a very tight game. I lean on the Lions winning somewhere between 4 and 6 points. Okay. Therefore, they cover.
And that
is our pick.
One pick. The rest tomorrow. Let's get to the news.
All right. So you probably heard this wild story. The CEO of United Healthcare, Brian Thompson, was fatally shot in what police say appears to be a premeditated, pre-planned, targeted attack.
Have you seen the video?
No.
There's video?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's all over social media. Oh, yeah. You watch start to finish. It's unreal.
I don't know if I want to. I know I'm sure you don't see everything.
Oh, no, you do.
Okay, then I definitely don't want to see.
Is it just happened broad daylight? Guy just walks up and guns him down?
It's right in front of the Marriott or the Hilton.
Yeah. In Manhattan. It happened in kind of like the morning, like late morning. Yeah. It's crazy. He was on his way to go speak at a conference, right? When this masked gunman approached him from behind. Hitman, gunman, whatever you want to say. A murderer.
Yeah.
Call him what you will. Fired several rounds. It's crazy. Police believe that he was lying in wait for several minutes before approaching Thompson and opening fire. The shooter fled on foot before pedaling on an e-bike into Central Park a few blocks away. Police, as far as I know, are still looking for this guy. They are offering a reward. There's a $10,000 reward being offered for any information leading to the arrest and conviction. He's a husband. He is a father, son. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of everything he is outside of his
day job,
his work persona. It's just a wild, awful, tragic story. Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan is running for governor in 2026, and he's parting ways with the Democratic Party, and he's instead running as an independent. So he just announced his bid in this video where he highlighted his decade-long tenure of accomplishments as mayor.
Hey, good luck.
Yeah, and this is kind of what people thought was going to happen, right? Yeah. He didn't, when he said he was going to retire from mayor.
Run for governor,
that was the speculation. He was going to run for governor.
It'll be fascinating to see because obviously as an independent, you don't have the backing of one of the two major political parties, but it'll be very interesting to see what kind of traction he gets.
Yeah, without a doubt. You guys, where do you set your thermostats in the winter?
Well, we vary during the day and at night.
Yes.
At night, it's usually 64, 65. Oh, during the day, it's right around 68.
Too cold. 71.
We're a 71. You know what? I can't lie. Like, our upstairs gets really, really cold, and the kids' room is freezing. Our windows suck. I drip and sweat, but the kids are freezing at 73.
Whoa.
At night?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
In Brooks' room, like, I'll wake him up, and his little hand, his hands are freezing. I just bought him like a really warm sleep sack because he can't sleep with blankets. Yeah, our house
You're
is really
probably
cold.
Probably very much like my wife where she would say something like that about Teddy and I would say, well, let's put one of the space heaters in there. Oh no, I wouldn't
Fires.
Be able to see up. Fire!
What if there was a fire and then in his room and I couldn't go and grab him out of his crib because the flames are flying? No.
His room is literally right next to ours.
Well, I'm talking about Brooks.
Yeah.
No, his room is not next to ours, so I'd have to... Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, the majority of Michiganders do prefer 68 degrees as their, like, little cozy yet practical temperature. The next most popular setting is...
69?
71 or higher, John. Now, according to DTE, that 68 degrees is preferable. And then bumping it down while you sleep, you can save about 10% on your heating bill if you do turn it down a few degrees at night.
That's Heather with the news. 73?
I know. That blows me away.
Thursday touchdown next, 97.1.
You guys, I have this really neat story to tell you. I was actually talking to Dr. Berkowitz from Michigan Hair Restoration, and he was talking to me about this wedding that he was just at. He said, awesome wedding, downtown, but he said the best part was when one of his patients came up to him who was there so excited to introduce Dr. B to his fiance, and he continued on to say that his hair restoration treatment with Dr. B changed his life and that it was because of his newfound confidence that he was able to go online and meet her. And then a little while later at that exact same wedding, another one of Dr. B's patients came up to him with almost the same story, but this time he was already married. And this patient was excited to introduce Dr. B to his wife, who he says he wouldn't have met if he didn't go to see Dr. B. It's pretty incredible. And guys, your life is waiting for you on the other side of your hair loss treatment. With a full head of hair that you can run your hands through, who knows what you'll have the confidence to do. So go to MichiganHairRestoration.com today to schedule your consultation with Dr. B. That's MichiganHairRestoration.com.
Seven football questions for Thursday touchdown. Let's hit it.
All right, guys. I wasn't here Monday, and I didn't really get to chime in much about Michigan and Ohio State. So we can't move forward until we look back one last time at the game last Saturday. Ryan Day had the worst game plan as a head coach in college football since blank.
Since his game last year, 23. Since 22.
Oh.
Since 21. I mean, like, it's... This is, he has had so much talent. And I know Michigan the last couple of years had some talent, had more talent than they obviously do now. But to get away from what they do every single time, you've had, and this is a great wide receiving core, but they had Marvin Harrison Jr. They had Garrett Wilson. They had so many playmakers, yet they want to puff up their chest and act like they're tough. Like every single year it is, I can't believe how ignorant they are in putting together a game plan.
John said ignorant. You could also say insecure. This idea they have to prove that they're this tough team. They're very insecure. I'm going to give a different answer just so that we get some variety here.
What, leather helmets?
No, I won't go back, pull a Stoney. I'll go to Ohio State, though, and I'll go to a team that Ohio State lost to that didn't throw for 100 yards. It was an Urban Meyer game, actually. 2015, they lost to Tyler O'Connor and Michigan State. 17-14, low-scoring game where Zeke Elliott only had 12 carries on a cold, wet day. That was the season he ran for 1,800 yards, so that's the game I'd point to.
Excellent answer. I love that answer. And John, I know what you said about the previous years. I just think it dwarfed it on Saturday in terms of taking the whole physicality thing personal instead of just winning the freaking game.
But what they've done every year.
I know, but this year, it was just absurd what they did Saturday.
There's no question. It blows my mind.
All right, Jerry Palm's CBS Bowl Projections has Michigan facing Missouri in the Music City Bowl on December 30th. That's the same day the Lions play the Niners, by the way. But it'd be a day game, the bowl game. Do you like this spot for Michigan, or would you rather see a different opponent in a different venue?
Am I allowed to pick like any venue regardless of tie-ins?
A reasonable bowl.
Okay, how about the Pop-Tarts Bowl, where you can watch a mascot be toasted in front of everybody. Play it on the 28th in Orlando, and John, let's have your Wolverines face the Oklahoma Sooners, two programs at a similar point.
I don't want to go to Florida. I just don't. We went to Nashville this past summer for a softball tournament. I fell in love with Nashville. It is unbelievably fun. Now, I'm only going to be down there for probably a night, but it'll be a hell of a run for 12 hours. I love the fact that there's a chance, and I hope it's probable, that they go to the Music City Bowl. And, I mean, I at that point, I don't care who they play. Give me Missouri. Give me anybody else. I don't care.
Florida?
Let's just – Florida.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Is Vandy Bowl eligible?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
How about – in Vandy at the Music City Bowl.
A home game for him?
Yeah, I think that would be really cool. I'd love to see him play the Commodores. I think they played him within the last 10 years or something. Maybe it's been longer.
Michigan, I know that Vandy?
Played them non-con in my life, so I don't know. It could have been a long time ago.
Yeah.
Throwing a flag. So you went from great answer, Jim, to bad answer on this one.
That's okay. Yeah. Can't win them all.
They play Oklahoma next year.
Oh, you're right.
Week two.
Okay, make it Florida.
Again?
Yeah, it's been
a few
years.
They played Florida like twice in the bowl in the last 10 years. The Jake Rudock game and then the disaster at the Peach Bowl.
All right, fine. Ole Miss. There you go.
Like how I'm picking this apart. Michigan State finished their season at 5-7 after an embarrassing home loss to Rutgers. Do you have full confidence MSU made the right hire in Jonathan Smith?
I don't know that you can have full confidence that it's right or that it's wrong. I give, at the college level, I give them all a mulligan on year one. And let's see what can happen when you get embedded in that university. You understand the culture of the university, the footprint. The question I have is, he's never He's never coached or led a program in the Midwest. And I just have a question about, will he be able to get inroads? So I have confidence it's the perfect hire. His track record says he's going to be able to get it right. But I don't have confidence that it's not.
You know, I think really hurts him is Kirk Cignetti. Cignetti brought in some of his guys, a lot of his guys. Jonathan Smith brought in a quarterback, a tight end, a center. He brought in not as many guys.
Yeah, but the quarterback is much orchid.
The point is, he brought in some of his guys, and they finished with a losing record, 1-4 in the last five, and there's very little juice going into the offseason, very little to sell in the portal. I don't think you should be 100% confident.
A fellow coworker, I'm not going to name names, so I don't know if you wanted to publicize this, but did say Jonathan Smith needs to get a little bit more Midwestern.
Okay.
But the entire staff is too West Coast and get those roots planted and maybe copy a little bit out of what Dusty May has done at Michigan already.
Sure. So I'd like that comparison.
The power surge did not include the 9-3 Packers this week, and I actually agree with that. Many feared the Packers were the biggest threat to the Lions in the NFC North heading into the season. Simple but loaded question. Who's the better team, the Packers or the Vikings?
Both quarterbacks turn the ball over a little too much, but the Vikings are the better run defense. During the quarterback, they have more wins. High-end coaching both sides of the ball, I'll go Vikings.
I'm going to go Vikings because I have more confidence that they're going to be more consistent. When you look at the Pack, I think the Pack has more talent.
Maybe, yeah.
I think Jordan Love it could be a better quarterback, obviously, than Sam Darnold, but I just don't trust him at this point. I don't think he's learned enough. I don't think he has enough reps at the NFL level to understand how critical every single snap is. It's never going to be perfect. So I think high-end talent, Packers. Consistency, Vikings.
All right, good answer there. And that was kind of just a checkpoint for me because I always feel like the Vikings just keep getting disrespected. They went in the Lambeau and they won this year. I mean, and it just seems like people still fear this Green Bay coming on thing. All right, the Eagles have won 8 straight games and have clearly emerged as a real threat in the NFC. With all the injuries to the Lions, the number one seed could be in jeopardy. If the Eagles host the Lions in the NFC Championship game, would you pick the Lions to win?
Yep, 100%. And this team has proven that they can win in any type of situation. I've gone into, and I have a kind of a unique perspective, gone into the vet originally and then the link. And that crowd can be wild and crazy, but this team has composure. I think the leadership that they have with Dan Campbell, they'll have the confidence going in there. And run game travels, defense travels. I do expect them to be healthy by that time. So I would 100% pick the Lions to win that game.
The win outdoors in Green Bay is a huge feather in their cap. Yes. Next question.
Wow. That's my biggest fear right now is that game happening.
Sure.
I don't know who I'd pick. I'm on the fence.
It's maybe the toughest spot that they would have to go play because I don't see them having to go to Minnesota. I don't know that they would ever get to the number two seed or number one seed. Green Bay, I don't care. So it's really the Lions or the Eagles.
Yep, two best teams.
All right, we're going to have a receipt here maybe potentially because I'm going to go into a place I maybe shouldn't. The Chiefs are 11-1, but have only a plus 54 point differential. I truly believe Mahomes and Reed are Brady and Belichick 2.0. At the same time, I believe this is a little bit of a quote down year for the Chiefs, much like the Patriots had once in a while. I'm writing off the Chiefs to reach the Super Bowl this year. Are you with me or against me?
I'm against you. Look. The Bills beat them head-to-head in the regular season. They've done that before. Have yet to do it in the playoffs. And then I look around the AFC. I don't trust the Steelers, who haven't won a playoff game since 2016. And I don't trust the Ravens and Lamar in the playoffs. It's Mahomes until proven otherwise.
I'm never going to write off Patrick Mahomes. When you have the best quarterback in the NFL, and maybe he's not playing up to that level. I don't know. I haven't done a deep dive into what's going on in Kansas City. Other than he just simply finds a way. And in playoff games, you just simply have to find a way. I'm never going to write off Patrick Mahomes until he's retired.
All right, just mentioned Brady. So he recently suggested that penalizing QBs for sliding late should be on the table. Would you support the NFL imposing a penalty like this?
Yeah, especially if there's probably going to be some caveat of, you know, a fake slide or a fake run out of bounds. I would 100%, and I think the penalty should match what it would be if they got hit late. So if they're going to slide late, or if they're going to fake a slide, then it's 15 yards the other way.
100% would support this. If you slide late, you don't protect yourself, you are setting that defender up to look bad. They have to play violent. They have to defend the yardage. They have to stop you from getting a first down. And when you slide late, you are doing it to yourself. I would go a step further. If an offensive player lowers the crown of their helmet to try to get a first down, that's no different than a defensive player lowering the crown of their helmet.
Come on.
You got to be consistent here. Are we protecting the head or are we not?
All right. I've got one more, and it's not for you guys. It's for Mr. Greg Hargrave.
Oh.
Greg, you've always been a Packers fan. And you really have adored what the Lions have done here the last few years. And you even tried to apply to become part of the fan base officially on the air. And you kind of got rejected, although I welcome you with open arms because I think everybody shouldn't be included except for like the Ricos of the world, like that it's still hate or the Chapmans, you know. Greg, who are you rooting for tonight?
I don't think any of us rejected Greg.
First of all, if I was, quote, rejected... Oh, is that I'm going to go home and not watch the Lions and not root for the Lions? Okay. I'm going to root for the Lions today.
How dare you?
Not an issue.
Yeah. Thank you.
And that is the Thursday touchdown. It's 97-1. Guys, we've been talking about this time of year, and while it's football season, it's also tis the season, and you got to get off the sidelines and get into the game with Moran Chevrolet, where GM employees and immediate family members can lease the all-new 2025 Equinox LT for $299 a month, 24 months, $999 down. That's right, a price under $300. Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. Moran has shipments arriving daily. What does that mean for you? It means when you show up, they're going to have the vehicle that you're there to test drive. Score your perfect deal, MoranExpress.com. Stop by in person. They're on Gratiot, north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. Two Grand Slam coming up at 7:25 this morning. It's the final two Grand Slam of 2024. Chance to win $2,000 if you can get all 10 questions right. We are calling on our best and brightest today. We've had a rough stretch lately. If it's not your thing, wait till 2025 in the new year. It'll be back. So that's at 7:25.
WTF. The new year.
A WTF year. Buckle up.
Look out.
John, you mentioned something earlier. You didn't... How you were talking about the Lions game maybe didn't reflect how you feel about this Lions game.
No, I'm still very confident that this team is going to go out there and win tonight. And so yesterday we had the what was the 1 to 5 the 1 to 10 scale?
Yeah, some guy texted in and we kind of ran with it.
Yeah, I mean, how nervous are you? I think what it was, and I think I said a 5. I've watched more film last night. I went back and reviewed some film from last year, and to me, I'm looking at this offense, and I think this offense is much more dominant. The numbers may not show it in regards to some of the astronomical numbers that Jared Goff had last year. There's been a couple of games where, I mean, the Tennessee game, that tends to skew things when special teams gives you the ball on the 10-yard line every time, going in. But I'm looking at this offense, and it is much more difficult to defend than it was last year. Jahmyr Gibbs in his second year. David Montgomery, the way that they are operating together and Ben Johnson is calling this offense, it's much more difficult to defend. So offense better. Special teams, even though they were good last year, and a lot of the cast of characters are the same, they have been much more productive. Now, Khalif Raymond's not there, but it doesn't change what Dave Phipp is doing and how he is setting up his return man. And obviously the kickoff rule changes numbers a little bit as well. So I still think, advantage 24 Lions. And then the big question is the defense. Last year, the defense may have had some more talent, but they weren't playing like this defense is playing, with or without starters. Now, are they as good without Hutch? No, not this year. Hutch was off to an unbelievably fast pace in regards to pressures, sacks. And so I'm not going to sit here and say that they're better than they were at the beginning of the year. That would be
idiotic. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I couldn't finish that one. But when you look at this defense compared to the way that they were playing at the end of last year, and it was Aaron Glenn figuring things out with Melifonwu, figuring things out with, how this defense needed to operate, I still think that this year's version without Pascal, Reeder, Onwuzurike, Hutch, Anzalone, is better at this time of the year than they were last year. And as much as we love Alex Anzalone, the way that Jack Campbell has been playing the last couple, we're all year, but since he has been the starter at that middle linebacker green dot spot, he has been superior to what Alex Anzalone was last year. This, the secondary, I mean, this is not even comparable.
This is
a secondary that can actually cover people, that can play man coverage, that can do a lot of things, and they are going to be healthy. Jamal Adams, is going to be a huge add in the secondary, and they're going to use him, I believe, like Ife Melifonwu was used at the end of last year. So the defense, to me, is still better than it was last year. You pair that with a dominant offense, a dominant special teams, and I have no question that this team is going to win tonight.
You expect them to win tonight.
100% I expect them to. I'm going in, and I know the line's 3.5, and I look at that and go, no big deal. They're not only will they win, but they're going to cover.
They got this. And it's funny because we have to talk about the injuries when they pop up. And,
sure.
And as a football person, you know that those are good football players, and that's going to be something they have to handle and deal with. But you expect them to win. And, John, I expect them to win. So we're going to carry the flag today. We begin the day telling people we expect the Lions to win in the face of all of these injuries, in the face of a good team, a 9-win team coming into Ford Field tonight, prime time. John, I expect them to win, and I'll put some numbers on it. Okay, you mentioned the offense. They are scoring more this year than last year by 4 points per game.
Yeah.
That's significant, and it's because of what you talked about. It's the two-headed monster. Both are healthy. You have Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's an all-pro. Sam Laporta, who I feel like has even more than we've seen this season. He was certainly better last year. They are as dominant as they were a year ago, and statistically better. They're great at home, 35 points per game at home. It may turn into one of those indoor shootouts. Luckily for Lions fans, they've got the offense built for it, the number one offense in football. Guys, the injuries on defense are real. They're concerning. We've talked about them. But if you have an offense that can win a shootout, you can overcome. And John, the secondary is so important to me tonight because Jordan Love has thrown the third most interceptions in the NFL. Only two quarterbacks have thrown more. Kirk Cousins, who's on a bit of a roll lately.
He's on a tear.
Yeah, that's right. Six in the last, three games.
No touchdowns.
Yeah, and Geno Smith is the only other one. So you have, and by the way, Jordan Love hasn't played all the games. He missed time. So among starters, he actually has the highest interception rate in football. So it's Branch, it's Joseph, who loves playing the Packers, by the way. It's Carlton Davis, who's back. They still have Aleem McNeil at the defensive line. They have Za'Darius Smith, who's going to be licking his chops to face his former team. And I think they can get a takeaway or two, possess the ball, score a bunch, win the game. I don't hope to win. I expect to win. But those are the two camps today. And I want to know which camp you're in. We want to take those phone calls this morning. Do you expect to win or do you just hope to win? And now you're not a hater if you don't think the Lions are winning today. We're not going to name call.
Right.
But we do want to know where you're at. 248-539-9797.
And reasons why.
Yeah.
If you say that there's no chance they have tonight, then give us some reasons as to why. Back up. It's like math class in high school, right? Show your work. Show your work. Don't just call up and say, yeah, there's no chance they can win. And I understand the injuries. I also understand on offense, Taylor Decker, not having him is a big deal.
Of course.
But Dan Skipper played much better last week. And they covered for him better last week against the Bears than they did the week prior.
You expect him to win. I expect him to win. Tom expects him to win. Greg expects them to win. Heather, do you expect them to win or do you hope that they're going to win?
I think I'm on the hopeful side.
Stacey, what do you want to say?
Okay. We said we weren't going to name call.
Yeah.
You're not as confident as the rest of us. Okay.
So I expect them to win. I think my biggest concern tonight is all these new defensive players getting acclimated into how the Lions operate play by play. Meaning, I wouldn't be surprised to see neutral zone infractions tonight. Stuff like that.
That'd be great.
Where timing is off because there's so many new players out there for them. I mean, Jamal Adams, is he playing? Is he going to be activated? I mean, he was not on a roster 3 days ago.
Yeah.
So I just that's where I have a concern. It's like you're at some point, John. You don't you have to have a little bit more practice time? Defensive linemen that are filling in, the first unit, that kind of stuff. That's where I'm getting concerned about. And I know that's a little less concerning on the defensive line than the offensive, because basically you got to just wait till the ball snapped, you know?
Right.
But at the same time, anticipation, nerves, energy, being too pumped up, and you jump off sides and commit stupid penalties. This team does not commit stupid penalties under Dan Campbell. And I just think tonight you almost have to allow it to be a little bit of a given.
Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
Oh, wait. What is a given? I'm not saying there's a given that they're going to commit dumb penalties.
That they're going to have a neutral zone infraction.
You're going to see a couple things out of whack tonight, because they simply aren't out there together as a unit. Right. I believe a unit functions together as
but hold
one.
On. And if you're firing off the ball, that's an individual decision, right? I mean, that's...
Well, but I think what you're talking about missed assignments. And if there's a game and one guy runs it, the other guy doesn't, or they don't do it well together. There is that fear, but I trust Aaron Glenn to put these guys in position to be successful.
These guys are human though. What I'm saying is okay.
They're also professional football players.
Right. So I know they are, but at the same time, when you function, John, an offense functions together as one. They're moving parts. I believe the same thing's true on defense to a lesser degree. And then you put this environment, this place is going to be rocking tonight, and that these guys get maybe just a little overcharged.
Or the Packers commit a penalty because they can't hear, they can't think, because the crowd forces them into an encroachment or a false start. That's more likely, to be honest.
I put out the bulletin. Forward field needs to show up tonight.
Yep.
You need to make this as hostile as you've ever made it.
Phone calls, ticket texts, hope to win, expect to win. And if you don't think they're winning tonight, give us reasons. As John says, show your work. It's 97.1.